This is Fresh Air. The war is over, but the oil fires rage out of control in Kuwait, and the oil spill still threatens marine life in the Gulf. The environmental group Greenpeace is calling for a new Geneva Convention that would create international laws to protect the environment in times of war. Their first step is a conference to be held in June in London that will bring together groups that don't usually get together: environmentalists, the military, and experts on international law. We called Gerd Leipold, who is organizing the conference for Greenpeace. The Geneva Conventions already set standards for the treatment of POWs, the use of chemical weapons, and protections for civilians during war. I asked Leipold if the Geneva Conventions already included any environmental protections.
There is some concern for it. There are some protocols, especially of the fourth Geneva Convention, that addresses certain aspects of it. But what is common to all of these previous attempts is that the threshold of application is very high. That means the environmental damage must be very, very high in order that the convention applies. Then there is limitation in so far as it is restricted to explicitly declared war. Armed conflict is not really covered by it. And there is, of course, the big problem that many countries have not ratified these protocols. So what we think is what is needed is a comprehensive approach to it that covers as broad as possible all possible environmental effects, and that then will be signed by as many countries as possible worldwide.
Give me a sense of what you'd like to see in these conventions.
Well, I think, unfortunately, we have learned a lot from the recent Gulf War. We still every day can see the pictures of the burning oil wells. Clearly, setting oil wells on fire or bombing an oil well so that they are on fire is something that should be banned. Equally, the spilling of oil into the marine environment or the desert environment. The bombing of nuclear installations can come close to the explosion of a nuclear bomb itself. The bombing of chemical factories can be close or even worse than explosion of a chemical bomb. I think that all needs to be included, and I think one has to seriously think about the effects of nuclear weapons itself and chemical and biological weapons.
Greenpeace has a reputation for being a radical and confrontational environmental group, and I think some people might be thinking that in that respect your group perhaps isn't the best group to try to make peace between the military and environmentalists, and not the best group to bring those two groups together.
Well, I mean, we're not trying to make peace, because obviously there is a big difference of opinion, a big difference of positions in that. We think it's important to approach the whole thing, and our position will very clearly be that we are a very strong lawyer of the environment. We will say what the environment needs, what kind of protection it needs. We will say what modern warfare does to the environment, and will enter into the debate with this position. And I think that can be and will be a very radical position. We do not have the intention of becoming an organization that is mostly concerned with conventions, but we think that this is a worldwide issue, the issue of war and the environment, and we think that it needs, and one way of to address it, and I stress one way, is to work for a Geneva Convention on the environment. However, this will not be our only activity. We will still continue to oppose nuclear weapons as we have done for years now, and we will do it with radical direct actions against the Soviet Union, against the US and the UK, France and other nuclear powers, as we have done so.
It's paradoxical, isn't it, that during a time of heightened environmental awareness, the environment was held hostage during this war?
Well, yes, of course it is. Maybe we sometimes, because of this heightened environmental awareness, it's more notice has been taken of it. And I think during the Vietnam War, the environment was in a way held hostage as well. And I think you could quote a number of previous wars which did huge damage to the environment. But because the green issues were not so important then, it wasn't noticed so much. The other thing is, of course, that modern weaponry does have an enormous effect, and then what we should not forget, that of course the more developed industrialized nations are, the more danger is there of side effects of war. Whenever you go after an industrial factory, that has the potential of a huge environmental disaster. And if you compare the industrial infrastructure of, say, the First World War to the industrial infrastructure which we today have in industrialized countries, including the Iraq, then the potential of environmental damage is much higher.
So what's the next step in trying to organize your conference?
Well, we have already, we are co-organizing this conference with the London School of Economics and the University of London, and we have approached a number of international renowned experts. The response is very positive to it. But before we will do that, we are working on a report about the effects of modern warfare on the environment, and we hope to publish this report in the first half of May. And we hope that this report will very much focus the debate on where it should be focused, namely on the environment, and lead away from a more or less fruitless ideological debate of who are the goodies and the baddies.
Have you contacted anyone in the military yet? Do you have any first responses to your proposed convention?
Well, actually, one of the organizers is the Center for Defense Studies at the University of London, which is not the military, but they have links to the military. And I wouldn't, I mean, while I probably disagree with many military people, I know from many talks and many conversations I had with military people that they are concerned about the environment as well. And I would think that the soldiers who have been through this recent war and who experience what the environmental damage will be deeply influenced by it. I think it's very, very, very sad and very, very impressive to see the oil wells on fire. And I think if you see this with your own eyes, you want to put an end to that.
If you organized a convention and the participants agreed to certain principles, what would it take to actually make that international law?
Well, that is when a lot of the tedious work would start. We intend to invite representatives from the UN and experts in the international legal community that knows how you turn something into international law. It would take governments that take up the idea. It would take other experts to come up with drafts. It would then an international conference needed to be called by governments, for governments, who then would have to negotiate the whole convention.
So this is a conference that you hope will eventually result in international laws that would protect the environment.
Yes, clearly. I mean, we couldn't call a conference and at the end of it decide a new body of international law. It is meant as an exchange of youth among academics who will discuss what is the existing body of law, what is needed in terms of the environment, what should be done, and how could it be done. If you look back at other international conventions like the Law of the Sea, it was a very long process until it finally got on its way. But the first step certainly is of getting the expert community together, hopefully agreeing, yes, that's something worthwhile working for. Then it would need to lobby governments in many countries and say, work on this, take this issue up. And once this has been achieved, that there is both in the expert community and within governments, there's the need for such a convention is recognized, then I think it would go forward and would go its usual way in the international community.
Gerd Leipold of Greenpeace spoke to us from London. This is Fresh Air.